After 170 years and countless searches, archaeologists have discovered a famed wreck in the frigid Arctic. All aboard the Canadian Coast Guard ship, the Sir Wilfrid Laurier, there was a team of marine and terrestrial archaeologists, hydrographers, the ship's captain and a helicopter pilot, and they finalised the day's plan. It was September the 1st, 2014. They were in the waters of the Canadian territory of Nunavut, searching the west coast of King William Island and the eastern parts of Queen Maud Gulf, some 540 square miles of sea. The team was led by Ryan Harris, who was a senior underwater archaeologist with Parks Canada, and had been looking since 2008 for signs of perhaps the two most famous ships lost in the search for the Northwest Passage: the reinforced British bomb vessels HMS Erebus and HMS Terror, led by Sir John Franklin and missing since the late 1840s. The search to determine the fate of Franklin's 1845 expedition began almost immediately after the realisation that the ships were lost. Since then, explorers have turned up bodies, bones, weapons, tools, a sunken treasure ship, and even a handwritten note with precise coordinates of when the quest veered so horribly off course. But the shipwrecks themselves remained elusive, lost amidst a constellation of archipelagos and whims of sea ice. Well, after nearly 170 years, Canadian archaeologists were finally on the cusp of a breakthrough in one of the great maritime mysteries. The potential find carried the weight of decades of anticipation and even modern geopolitical ramifications as the nations that surround the now increasingly ice-free Arctic jockey for access to the natural resources that are thought to lie beneath it. Sir John Franklin and his crew aboard the Erebus and the Terror, there was 134 men in all, they set sail from England on May the 19th, 1845. Their mission was to find the long-sought Northwest Passage through the treacherous Arctic seas that connects the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans. Franklin was at the helm of Erebus, while his second in command, Francis Rawdon Crozier, captained the Terror. By late July, the ships, now carrying 129 after five men fell ill and were sent back, were in Lancaster Sound, the eastern entrance to the Arctic Ocean. They left word with the captain of a passing whaling vessel that the mission was going according to plan and then set off into the unknown. Back in Britain, alarm only arose after the expedition's three-year mark came and went with no word from Franklin. Their disappearance into the void sparked a string of ambitious but unsuccessful rescue efforts funded first by the British Admiralty and then privately by the explorer's wife, Lady Franklin. In 1850 alone, 10 separate expeditions were launched, including one helmed by Robert McClure, who took an easterly route into the Arctic through the Bering Strait. McClure ended up losing his ship, the HMS Investigator, but he and most of his crew were rescued. He managed a feat for which he was celebrated upon his return. His men were the first to traverse the Northwest Passage by sea and by sledge. McClure encountered no evidence of Franklin, but another 1850 expedition found on Beechley Island mummified remains identified by crude wooden markers as John Brain and John Hartnell, who served on Erebus, and John Torrington, who was part of the Terror's crew. The most troubling realisation about the fate of the expedition came in 1859, when a search party led by Royal Navy explorer Francis Leopold McClintock discovered a stone cairn at Victory Point on King William Island. Inside was a handwritten note dated May 28, 1847, reporting that all was well with the Franklin expedition, despite a winter stuck in the ice. But an update written around the margins of the paper detailed how desperation had taken hold less than a year later. Dated April 25th, 1848, the update stated that Franklin had died just days after the first note was left, and that the decision had been made to abandon the ships. What remained of the crew, 105 men, headed on foot in the direction of Back's Fish River, which would have led them south. More evidence of the survivors was eventually uncovered, much of it grisly. Later expeditions found buried or mutilated human remains, some alone, some in groups of several dozen. It's not known if starving crew members resorted to cannibalism or whether the condition of the remains was caused by wild animals. Other traces included iron nails, metal cutlery, tools, knives, and wood fragments that the crew carried with them on their doomed march. But just as important or more are the oral histories and the eyewitness accounts collected by later search parties of the Inuit, who travelled seasonally through the area for centuries. For all the money and energy spent and lives lost looking for the ships and survivors, what may be most noteworthy is that the ship was found in almost exactly the same area indicated by an Inuit elder in 1869. The spot is in the area of Wilmot and Crampton Bay, northeast of O'Reilly Island. It's more than 60 miles south of the ship's last documented location. This discovery made international news in the coming days and was particularly important for the Inuit, who have stood sentinel over the Arctic for generations. It validates, in fact, their version of events.